भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. So we're continuing reading in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is chapter 24, and it's describing the subterranean heavenly planets. And we'll begin with text 18. Yasmin pravishte suravarunam prayak pungsavanani bhayad eva shravanti patanti cha. When the Sudarshan disc enters those provinces, the pregnant wives of the demons all have miscarriages due to fear of its effulgence. And we have a very long prose verse here. Atatale maya putro surabalo nivasati yena hava iha shishtaha sannavatir maya kashchanadyapi maya vino dharayanti yasya chadrimbamanasya mukatas trayak strigana udapadyanta svairinyak kaminyak pungshalya itiya vai pilayanam. Pavishtam purusham rasena hatakakena sadha yitva swa vilasavalokana anuraga smita samlapo paguhanadibi svairankila ramayanti yasmin upayukte purusha ishvaro hum sidoham ityayata maha gaja balam atmanam. Abhimanyamana katate madanda iva. We started with 18, so this is now 19. Translation for this long verse. My dear king, now I shall describe to you the lower planetary systems one by one, beginning from Atala. In Atala, there is a demon, the son of Mayadhanava, named Bala, who created 96 kinds of mystic power. Some so-called yogis and swamis take advantage of this mystic power to cheat people even today. So this is Sukadev Goswami speaking 5,000 years ago. So they were cheating. They were cheating swamis even back then. Simply by yawning, yes, I'm sorry, we started at 15 and this is now 16. Simply by yawning, the demon Bala created three kinds of women known as Swairini, Kamini, and Pungshali. The Swairinis like to marry men from their own group. The Kaminis marry men from any group. And the Pungshalis change husbands one after another. If a man enters the planet of Atala, these women immediately capture him and induce him to drink an intoxicating beverage made with a drug named as Hataka, and Prabhupada puts in parentheses, Cannabis Indica. This intoxicant endows a man with great sexual powers of which the women take advantage for enjoyment. A woman will enchant him with attractive glances, intimate words, smiles of love, and then embraces. In this way, she induces him to enjoy sex with her to her full satisfaction. Because of his increased sexual power, the man thinks himself stronger than 10,000 elephants and considers himself most perfect. Indeed, illusioned and intoxicated by false pride, he thinks himself God, ignoring impending death. So I guess this was like the first medical marijuana. But anyway, the next verse, 17. Tato dashtad vitale haro bhagavan hatakeshwaraha saparshada bhuta ganavrita prajapati sargopa brimhanaya hanaya bhavo bhavanya sahamituni bhuta aste yatak pravrita sarit pravara hataki nama bhavayor viryena yatra titrabhanur matarishvana samidyamana ojasa pibatitan nishyutam hatakakyam suvarnam bhushanena surendravarodeshu purushaha saha purushibhir dharayanti. Sanskrit language is beautiful. That's why we struggle to hear it, because this is the original language in which this book was spoken. So forgive our shortcomings, but it is nice to try to read the verses. Translation for 17. The next planet below Atala is Vitala, wherein Lord Shiva, who is known as the master of gold mines, lives with his personal associates, the ghosts, and similar living entities. Lord Shiva, as the progenitor, engages in sex with Bhavani, the progenitress, to produce living entities. And from the mixture of their vital fluid, the river named Hataki is generated. When fire, being made to blaze by the wind, drinks of this river and then sizzles and spits it out, it produces gold called Hataka. The demons who live on that planet with their wives decorate themselves with various ornaments made from that gold, and thus they live there very happily. Srila Prabhupada's purport for this verse. It appears that when Bhava and Bhavani, Lord Shiva and his wife, unite sexually, the emulsification of their secretions creates a chemical which, when heated by fire, can produce gold. It is said that the alchemists of the medieval age tried to prepare gold from base metal. And Srila Sanatan Goswami also states that when bell metal is treated with mercury, it can produce gold. But be very careful. Mercury is very poisonous metal. Srila Sanatan Goswami mentions this in regard to the initiation of low-class men to turn them into brahmanas. Sanatan Goswami said, Yata kanchanatam yati kangsyam rasavidanataha tata dikshavidanena dvijatvam jayate nranam. Translation, as one can transform kangsa or bell metal into gold by treating it with mercury, one can also turn a low-born man into a brahmana by initiating him properly into Vaishnava activities. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness is trying to turn malechas and javanas into real brahmanas by properly initiating them and stopping them from engaging in meat-eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling. One who stops these four principles of sinful activity and chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra can certainly become a pure brahmana through the process of bona fide initiation, as suggested by Srila Sanatana Goswami. Apart from this, if one takes a hint from this verse and learns how to mix mercury with bell metal by properly heating and melting them, one can get gold very cheaply. The alchemists of the medieval age tried to manufacture gold, but they were unsuccessful, perhaps because they did not follow the right instructions. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Parishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvashesha Srinivani Paschachade Shtarine Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Shtapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sopadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raganatan Vatam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vatangsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindabaneshri Vrishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha kalpaturibhyascha kripasinube evacha patitanang pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So further descriptions of situation of the universe, things that we cannot verify by our own direct experience. But this is not so difficult to understand because we're all, as described in Bhagavad Gita, 1/10,000 tip of the hair. If you take a hair and you take that tip, divide it into 100 parts, and then you take one of those parts and divide it into another 100 parts, you come to 1/10,000 the size of the original tip of the hair. And that's the dimension of the spirit soul. So we're residing in the heart region of our individual bodies, and by comparison, the size of the body compared to 1/10,000 the tip of a hair, practically you're living in your own personal universe, of which you have practically no knowledge. How do you know what's inside your body? Because somebody has told you so, or you've seen some drawings. You know, there's a heart, there's livers, there's this organ, that pituitary gland, this and that. How do you know? Have you seen your own pituitary gland or your own veins that run from the heart to the tip of the toes? No, you haven't seen those things. Well, we accept it by hearing. Somebody tells us that they know what's inside the body, and we accept it. We accept it. So similarly, just as we cannot verify our own immediate bodily situation, we cannot verify by our sensual inspection the situation of this universe, what to speak of what's beyond the universe. So we accept, as Prabhupada said earlier, either you have to accept the statements of the Srimad Bhagavatam, or you accept the statements of the scientists, but you cannot corroborate one way or the other. When they're telling you that there's some particle, you know, called a gluon or a muton or whatever, you cannot verify that on your own. You can't. You accept it. Yes. They've looked inside the atom and they've seen these things, and we accept them. So we're accepting the statements of Shukadev Goswami, not blindly, because we've heard from the cyclic succession that he is an authority. Srila Prabhupada established himself as an authority on the Vedic scriptures, Vedic knowledge, and through him we establish other personalities as authorities. His spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Gorkhishordas Babaji Maharaj, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, all the way back Lord Chaitanya and Shukadev Goswami, we accept. It is stated in the Bhagavatam that Shukadev Goswami is not an ordinary person. In that Leela, when he was leaving home, there's a verse there that says, Saha Putra Mahayogi. Saha, his, Srila Vyasadeva's Putra's son, Saha Putra Mahayogi. What is that? I'm forgetting the verse now, but what it states is that he's not an ordinary person. He's Mahayogi, and that he was situated in monism. In other words, he was already self-realized before he came out of the womb. He knew everything. But because he was not experienced, Guda Mura Veyate, the last line says, he was taken to be a foolish person. He was taken to be a mudha because he was not experienced. He left home immediately after birth. And so the common people, they thought he was just some, you know, crazy person, mad fellow. They were following him and teasing him, right up to the point when he came to Naimisharanya. And when they saw all the great sages stand up to receive him, then they realized this is not an ordinary person. They ran away. So this authority we're hearing from about the situation of the planetary systems below Bhumandala, Atala, Sutala, going all the way down to Rasatala. And in today's verse, we're hearing further descriptions of the subterranean heavenly planets. Now it sounds very wonderful. There are these beautiful women there, and they induce the men to enjoy with them by giving them this cannabis indica. So it sounds great. Nice place to visit. Ordinary materialists would think, wow, how can I plan my vacation there? But the verse before that states that they're afraid of the effulgence of the Sudarshan Chakra. In other words, they're afraid of death. So further confirming that no matter where you go in this universe, unless you're a self-realized soul, you're going to be afraid of death. So the first thing then would be to how to overcome this fear of death. How do we get away from that? Earlier in the Bhagavatam, there are many indications given. Excuse me. In the first canto, first chapter, I believe, yeah. There's this verse, Apanak Sankshatim Gorang, Yannamama Vishoganan, Tatosadyavamucheta, Yadbibeti Swayam Bhayam. Here, the wise of the demons in the lower planetary systems, they're afraid of the effulgence of the Sudarshan Chakra. But if one, even unconsciously, says here, living beings who are entangled in the complicated meshes of birth and death can be freed at once by even unconsciously chanting the holy name of Krishna, which is fear by fear personified. So if we want to be free from fear, we have to take shelter of Sri Harinam. That's the indication there. Why is that? Because the holy name is not different from Krishna. So rather than trying to take shelter of some nice material arrangement that's being described here, beautiful parks and lakes and jewels and gold made from the emulsification of the fluids coming from Lord Shiva and his wife, rather than taking shelter of these objects, these material situations that are all temporary, we're being advised to take shelter of this path of bhakti. On Sunday, Srila Prabhupada was saying, pushing that in his lecture on the sixth canto, that There may be other kinds of yoga that one can perform, but unless we come to the point of bhakti yoga, practically it's useless. Here we see, because people get misled, as Shukadeva Goswami is saying here, if they develop some mystic power, they simply use it to cheat the public. They become enamored themselves of their temporary mystic power. So the devotees, Prabhupada said once, they're not trying for mystic power. They become all-powerful simply by taking shelter of Krishna. If one takes full shelter of Krishna, then that person is all-powerful. Why? Because Krishna can exhibit unlimited power through that person. Unlimited power. Rather, as compared to the temporary flickering power of the so-called mystic yogis that they achieve. It's insignificant. Bodhis are not attracted by that. So, Prabhupada was saying on Sunday, that don't be afraid to take to this path of bhakti yoga, because even if you should fall down in an unripe stage, citing that verse from Narad Muni, he was referring to that verse, that even if one takes the Krishna consciousness out of some sentiment, but then falls down in an unripened stage, there's no loss, because whatever you've achieved on the path of devotional services is never lost to you. And Prabhupada also recited from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Suchinam Srimatam Gehe Yoga Brashta, that you're guaranteed to take birth in a nice family, Brahminical family or wealthy family, if you fall down from the devotional path. Whereas those who are non-devotees, there is no guarantee. They can take birth in any of the 8,400,000 species of life. There's no guarantee they're going to come back as human beings or in a nice situation. So better to take, whereas, again, those who are Taktasa Dharma. Sadharma means your own niche in life. Everybody has a niche in life that they achieve, either professionally or even on the spiritual path, whatever. Everybody has a niche that they achieve. There's some dharma, some responsibilities involved. So somebody may criticize you that, you know, you're giving up your responsibilities. Just like when I joined the movement, I had just finished my third year of engineering school, and my parents weren't so much fazed by the strangeness of the Hare Krishna movement, but they were shocked by the fact that you're going to turn your back on your material situation. How can you do that? If you give up this thing later on down the road, how are you going to make a living? Please, go back to school, finish that last year. At least have that in your pocket in case you give up Krishna consciousness. So people are like that. They're thinking that at least you should have some material qualification. But we see Shukadeva Goswami set the example. He didn't care at all about material situations. Straight from the womb, straight to go and preach to Parikshit Maharaj. Just preaching. So not all of us can do that. Not everybody is advanced enough to simply totally turn their back on the material situation and completely hold on to the lotus feet of Krishna. So it is advised that you find your proper niche in varna and ashram. Find the right varna, find the right ashram, and from that position execute Krishna consciousness nicely, without any worries. So, again, we're not attracted necessarily to these material situations, knowing full well that they're all temporary. Krishna has stated that, established that. We know from our own experience in life that everything changes. Everything changes. The main rule of material existence is that everything will change. Just like the weather in Alatra. When I first moved to Alatra in 92, it was weird. You know, like, you think this is bad here in terms of, in Alatra, it's like 1 minute it's hot like anything, then within a few minutes a big thunderstorm comes in and the whole place cools down and rain like anything for half an hour and then it all blows away. So whenever the weather would get weird, they would say, don't worry about it, it's going to change in 5 minutes, you know. So material life is like that. Whether you're in a happy situation, don't become attached to it because it will change in a few minutes. And similarly for the distress, happiness is stress, matra sparshas tukantaya, Krishna tells us. And don't become too attracted to anything, and at the same time, don't become too much averse to anything. Raga dvesha vimuktaistu vishnan indriyastaran. Adma bhasha vidayatma prasadam adhigachati. If you want Krishna's prasad, Krishna's mercy, don't be too attracted to anything in this world, and don't be averse. A flip side of the same coin. Otherwise, the danger is that at the time of death, whatever you're really, really attracted to in this world, that's what you're going to think about. And just the opposite, whatever you're really averse to, you hate. We know that many times people become inimical to some other group or nation or religious practitioners. This group hates that group. So if you die hating so intensely, almost guaranteed you're going to take birth in that group that you hate so much. because you're meditating on them. You're meditating on that situation. So Krishna advises, don't be too attracted to anything, but at the same time, don't be so much averse to anything. Just be, you know, equipoised. And in this way, make progress in spiritual life. So, but why is the chanting of the Hare Krishna so powerful? Why is it so recommended? On Sunday, in the Sunday feast lecture, Niranjana Prabhu gave a very, very nice talk. Somebody had asked him to speak on what to do at the time of death, how to avoid fear of death, like that. So he chose to speak from the first chapter of the second canto. He read, I think, the first 18 verses in a row. Very nice section there. Nice to review if you haven't looked at it for a while. And it starts out with Shukadeva Goswami again, beginning to respond to the questions posed by Parikshit Maharaj. Very first verse, Gariyan Eshate Prashna. He's saying that Gariyan Eshate, your Prashna, your question is glorious. Why? Kritaloka Hitam Janaha. Because it is beneficial to everybody in the world. What was the question that Parikshit asked? Same thing. What is the duty of someone of people in general, especially of someone who's about to die? So Prabhupada asked in one situation, who's not about to die? Everybody's about to die. So we should listen very carefully to Shukadeva's answers, because we're all about to die, so we should know what we should do at the time of death. Gariyan Eshate Prashna, Kritaloka Hitam Jana, Atmavid Samatha Pungso. The Atmavids, those who are transcendentalists, they fully approve of this question and answer process. Not just any questions and answers. We should not ask questions just to sound learned. I know at one time here in New Dwarka, it was a place where visitors were afraid to give questions because the New Dwarka Vasis, they were very expert at asking stump the Swami questions. They prided themselves in that, coming up with these questions that the Swamis couldn't answer. So, but that's not what's recommended. Not that you just dream up some question to try to stump somebody. You should really have an interest in the answer. That's why you ask the question. Not just ask questions to sound learned or look like you know everything. I went on only one morning walk with Srila Prabhupada and asked a question. Now, obviously I was not trying to stump Srila Prabhupada. You can't stump Srila Prabhupada. But I asked that in this material world, inside the body, we're located, like I said, in the region of the heart, tiny living entity, and we're thinking that we are this gigantic body that surrounds us. But at the same time, within that body, there are so many other living entities. It's not that you're the only living entity in this body. You may think that this is me, but we know that there's so many bacteria, so many, you know, sometimes even some 10-foot-long tapeworms infest your body. There's so many living entities within the body along with you. So I asked Srila Prabhupada that, in the spiritual world, is it like that, where a body is comprised of many different living entities? So at first, Prabhupada didn't hear, and he asked one of the devotees that were closer to him, he asked him, what did he ask? And they repeated the question, and Prabhupada answered in one word, no. No, that's not the situation. When you're in the spiritual world, you are that body. So that cow, that tree, that gopi, that gopa, they are that body. There is no other living entity inside that body that is occupying the body along with you, because there's no difference between the person and their body. But in this material world, every body that you occupy, there are so many other living entities inside that body. Some of them beneficial, some of them harmful. So we should not forget that. We're in a very precarious situation. Nowadays, because they've messed with the environment so much, people come down with these terrible diseases, these flesh-eating bacteria. You become infected with something like that. They literally eat your flesh while you're still alive. Horrible, horrible things that exist in this material world. And yet, we want to make a wonderful situation. So, Narantar kept reading. Like I said, up to, I think, about text 18, but then he hit on 15, which is a verse that really stuck with me. I remember as a young devotee reading this first chapter of the second canto in this verse. And it's germane to the discussion today about not being afraid of death. And it says, Antakali tapurusha agate gata sarvasa chindyat asanga shastrena spriham dehe niyachatam. That antakali, at the end of one's life, antakali tapurusha agate gata sarvasa chindyat asanga, one should not be afraid of death. Just like recently Aryendra passed, and based on the descriptions of what happened, obviously he was not struggling and screaming, and he realized it was a situation he was not going to get out of, so he just put the body down, literally, he put his body down and just walked away. you can see from the situation. So that's what's recommended in the Vedas. One should make enough spiritual advancement that when the last moment comes, one is not struggling and screaming and trying to, well, help me, save me, give me 4 more years of life. Prabhupada made fun of one businessman, rich man in India, who the doctors told him, look, the end is, no, you don't understand, I have so many plans, please give me 4 more years so I can execute my plans. No, when it's time to go, you're not going to get 4 more seconds. So be ready. Antakali Chapurusha. Be ready when that end game comes, the end of life, which will come for all of us. Just be ready. Be dhira, be sober. That's the whole point of Bhagavad Gita. To be dhira, be sober. Be so fixed up in Krishna consciousness that you're not afraid to take that final step. Chindyada Sangha Shastriyana Spriham Deya. And one should cut off all attachment to this body. What is it we're attached to anyway? This kunape tridatake, this bag of skin full of bones and blood and so many horrible things. And still, after 30 years of chanting Hare Krishna, we're still attached to it. Even though we can see it deteriorating before our very eyes. I mean, if I look back at pictures of myself at age 21 when I joined this movement, compared to this body now, you can see the body is changing, and not for the better. No matter how many people say, oh, I feel better now in my 50s and 60s than I did when I was 20. Okay, fine, great. But this body is deteriorating on a daily basis. Why are we so attached? We have to ask ourselves, what is it we are so attached to? These hairs? You know, this nose? You know, what are we attached to? It's not worth being attached to. Krishna said that the first thing to Arjuna, that you're speaking like a learned person, pundit, but you're lamenting for that which is not worthy of lamentation. Those who are wise don't lament for the living or the dead. So we have to get to that point where we can consciously cut off attachment to this body and everything that's related to it, meaning the family, the possessions, all these things we have to be in advance. Therefore, the Vedic culture is Varnashram Dharma, that you make progress. You start out as a brahmachari, brahmacharini, Prabhupada introduced, learning the scriptures. That is the main duty of the brahmacharis and brahmacharinis. That's why I'm always testing them. You have such simple life. You get up, come to the morning program, do a little service, and then as far as possible, you should be studying all day. Seriously studying, not just to make a show of studying, to really understand what Prabhupada has given us in these books. All of the books, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction, Sri Ishapanishad, all these are books that you must know as a brahmachari, as brahmacharini. Otherwise, Prabhupada wasted his time producing all these books. Prabhupada said, once I was here when it happened, when the book distribution scores were going up and up and up, devotees were doing 50 big books a day, 60, 70. So Rameshwar went to Prabhupada and he was very excited to give him the book scores. And Prabhupada nodded. And then on that particular occasion he said, but are they reading my books? He was not happy just for them to go out and sell his books. He wanted us to read them. He said, I've produced these books for my disciples, primarily, for you to read. And then if we actually read them and imbibe them, then we'll be eager to go out and give them to others. But if we just take the books and go out and distribute them and we don't read them, then what's the use? What's the use? So the Varnashram system is so nice that Brahmachari, Grihastha, and then Vanaprastha must come. One is not meant to stay in Grihastha Ashram forever. One should be ready to go on to the next step, Vanaprastha, and then the next step, Sannyas. Although it's sometimes it's stated that if one has a nice Krishna conscious wife, sannyas is not necessary. Husband and wife can go through the Vanaprastha stage together and then go to holy places. And in ISKCON that means taking up some service in some ISKCON temple, which is very nice. Of course, after all that time, you've had some experience spiritually and materially that you can share with younger devotees. So that's also there. But one should not think that one is going to sit down in Grihastha life forever. That should not be the goal. The goal is to progress from one stage to the next naturally, just like the inchworm, Prabhupada says. It picks up the front legs. They have legs on both ends. They're like long worms, about an inch long. They have legs on both ends, nothing in the middle. So they put down the front set of legs, and then they pick up the back set, and then they put it down like that. So we're meant to progress naturally. When you're mature in a particular situation, then you move on to the next situation. So these people in the subterranean heavenly planets, they enjoy like anything, and then when inevitable death comes, they freak out to the point where the women have miscarriages. So we're meant to be beyond that, not freaking out when death comes, but to be sober, dear, ready to move on. We can stop here. Any questions, comments?
You mentioned this. By the way, thank you for a nice, very nice class. You mentioned this statement in the Gita where Krishna says that if one takes to Krishna consciousness, then his next life he'll take birth in a Brahmana family. But we see so many examples of even very high personalities, persons taking birth in Prabhupada's family. None of them became devotees. Even Advaita Acharya, some of his sons deviated. So maybe you could say something about that?
Well, I wouldn't say that none of Prabhupada's offspring became devotees. I've met at least one of his sons and the wife, and they're very Krishna conscious. I remember this was like the last time I saw them was 95 in Mayapur. We actually went on a ride on the Ganges together with Jai Pataka Maharaj. He was explaining to them what was going on in the project, and then we went to see Bhaktivinoda Thakur's place. And they were very, they were chanting, and you know, they seemed very supportive of ISKCON, and they were chanting Hare Krishna. So I wouldn't say none, but the living entity is independent. So that's why Prabhupada said, try to finish up in this one life and go back to Godhead, because when you come back, you may be again enamored of the material energy and not of Krishna, attracted to Krishna's energy and not to the energetic source. That's the situation. We see many people are born into wealthy situations. They become overcome by the convenience of not having to worry about, and instead of taking advantage of that and then taking all that time to make spiritual advancement, they take advantage and do horrible things. They do horrible things with the money that they're given. It's a distraction, if not used properly. George Harrison said once that he said, I'm amazed, he said, I'm already a rich man, but wherever I go, people keep giving me stuff. You know? So a lot of rich people, they actually expect that. He was amazed by it, but a lot of them expect that. Because they're rich, just like this Leona Helmsley, famous case, she's passed away now, Helmsley Empire in New York, when they busted her for, you know, tax evasion, she said, paying taxes is for little people. In other words, rich people shouldn't pay taxes. You know, that's for little people. So a lot of them are like that. They become distracted by their wealth. They think having wealth means that they're more powerful than everybody else. But it's not a fact. They're just as vulnerable as anybody else. You know, they can die from any diseases, same diseases that everybody else, and ultimately death comes to them. So it's a distraction. So Shuchinam Shimatam Gehe, yes, you may be given that opportunity. And in India, still to this day, you're born in a Brahmana family, you get some respect, and it goes to their heads. They think, yeah, I'm from this, you know, big, big family. And it's a distraction. So better to finish up in this lifetime, go back to Godhead, and not have to come back even to a nice family, what to speak of some of the other situations that one can occupy. Anyway, we're a little over time, so we can stop here. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.